And then have you all with us. We're in the Christmas season. Amen. It's always a wonderful time. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, is probably the most complete description or story of Christmas. Let me read it for you. We won't read it all, but it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Let me pause and say something about this taxation. There were three. The first for the general populace of Rome. The second was a taxation on the area of Israel. They didn't like the taxation. They formed a legislative group and went to Rome to argue against the taxation. It took some time for them to get to meet with the senators, and it took even a longer time for them to decide that it didn't matter what the Jews said, they were going to be taxed. So they went back. Then the taxation was put into place. And that happened when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Verse 3 says, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. One of the requirements was that the city that your family was from was the place required for you to go back and answer the census, find out what the taxation was going to be that year, and follow through on it. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. My son, when he was 6, was reading this text to us. And he said, Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his exposed wife, being great with child. Did you hear that? You can laugh at that. He was 6. Of course, our family, which is very sarcastic, ranked in him for days. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And listen to this verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those are astounding words. Incredible words. the fulfillment of all the prophets came to rest on that one day and came to fruition. Christ was born. The Christmas story is that marvelous story of good tidings, great joy, spoken of by Dr. Luke in chapter 2 that we just read. In chapter 2 and verse 11, we're given a simple picture of this event that will change the world. Nothing has impacted mankind as greatly as this event. Nothing. Without this event, there would be no cross. There would be no blood atonement. There would be no resurrection. There would be no hope for eternity. None. This event is of a particular kind, because it only happened once. And so let's look at this verse, this picture. And you'll find here a simple outline. Three points that we look at this morning. Number one, I want you to notice this verse 1 and verse 11, 2 and verse 11, I think, tells us how he came. For unto you is born this day. For unto you is born this day. This agrees with Isaiah 9:6. The prophecy says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But it's interesting that in this verse, it's particular. It's personal. For unto you is born, all God's people say. We don't have to look any further than this verse to find the answer to our need, the answer to our sin problem. It's found in the birth of Christ, who went from heaven to earth, lived 33 and a half sinless years, died on the cross to pay our sin debt, because he came for our salvation. It's incredible. For unto you is born this day. I've come. He came by way of the tunnel of time for mankind, and took upon human flesh. This was a condescension of the 10th magnitude. He left the glory and splendor of heaven, came down the tunnel of time, and took upon flesh. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came from heaven, God, and came to earth and took upon himself humanity. That's an incredible conversation. Think of all that he left, all that he gave up to come here and live like us. How did he come? He came through the tunnel of time. Number two, how did he come? He came by birth. And not just another birth, but a virgin birth, all God's people said. Mary was a virgin. She replied to Gabriel, "How can this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" When the angel told Joseph what had happened with Mary, the Bible tells us all this was fulfilled, Joseph, that was spoken by the prophets. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word. The Greeks would not have known the word. So God interprets it here for the Greeks. Isn't that incredible? God with us. This agrees with Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." These prophecies, 1,000 years prior to the birth of Christ, were fulfilled to the letter in Jesus Christ. It was a virgin birth. Secondly, not only does this verse tell us how he came, but it tells us why he came, all God's people. And by the way, just to follow the virgin birth, he did not inherit a human nature. Write that down. He did not inherit a human nature. He had a divine nature. If he would have inherited a human nature, it would have been fallen. Adam sinned against God's rule in the garden. And all of humanity plunged into sin. Everyone born after Adam, born with a sin nature, a fallen nature. If Christ would have inherited Adam's nature, he would have had a fallen nature. He did not inherit. This virgin birth not only tells us that, it tells us he did not have the ability to sin. He did not have a sin nature. In fact, his blood that he shed was the blood of God. So this virgin birth is so essential. Secondly, why did he came? He came as a Savior, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. His name, did you ever think of this? His name explains his mission. The angel said, "Call his name Jesus." Why? Jesus means Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. Why did he come? He came to save us from our sin. Folks, it's that simple. You know, there are people all over the world today that look at Christmas simply as getting and giving presents. I guess that's all right. But that's not why Christmas is here. That's not what Christmas means. Christmas tells us that someone came to solve your problem. And everybody has the same problem. It's a sin problem. Amen? There's not a person sitting here today, man, woman, teenager, boy, girl, there's not a person sitting here today who does not have a sin problem. And if you simply live out your life, even trying to do the best you can, and you do not get Christ as your Savior, listen to me very carefully. You will die in your sin. And people that die in their sin do not go to heaven. They go to hell. That's not popular today, but it's the truth. Why did he come? He came to save his people from their sin. You and I. Jesus said in his mission, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. By dying on the cross, he did four things. Number one, he was made sin for us. Now think with me for a moment. Have you ever sinned? Suppose we had everyone in here stand up and quote all their sins they've committed. Okay, let's not do that. I don't want people to know everything I've done. God knows. Now wait a minute. He took every one of your sins, past, any sins you'll commit present, and any sins in the future, past, present, and future. Every sin. God knows the ones you have committed, he knows the ones you are going to commit, and he knows the ones you will commit. And he put every one of those sins on Christ. He became sin for us, even though he knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for us on the cross. Secondly, he voluntarily took our penalty for that sin. He died on the cross. He really died. You and I deserved that death. But he died for us. A third thing he did is by dying, he took our punishment and paid our penalty. He took our punishment and paid our penalty. A fourth thing that happened on the cross, and you want to write this down. God judged him for our sin. That's like standing before a judge, having done exactly what they said you had done. You know it. Everybody in the courtroom knows it. And just before passing sentence, someone walks in and says to the judge, I will take his penalty. And the judge imposes the penalty on that innocent man. All that you have done. That's what Christ did. He died so that we might live. He was born to die. How he came, why he came. There's one third thing. This verse tells us who he was. For Catherine, who is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, listen to this, which is Christ the Lord. Two titles. Christ the Lord. The word Christ in the New Testament is equivalent to the Old Testament word Messiah. But it also means the same thing as Messiah, the anointed one. The one who is anointed. In the Old Testament, they looked for the anointed one, Messiah. In the Old Testament, there were only three offices that were anointed. Listen very carefully. Number one, the office of king in the Old Testament. When a king was elected or placed in his position, he was anointed before the people. That anointing pictured God's hand and Holy Spirit upon the one to rule. When King David was anointed, it was a picture to the people that God's hand and his Holy Spirit hand was on David as ruler. The king was anointed. The office of prophet was anointed. God's Spirit rested on the prophet, and this anointing was a picture of that. Because they were chosen to proclaim God's word or God's revelation. So the prophet was anointed. There's one other office, the office of priest. The priest was the one chosen by God to intercede for the people before God with a blood offering. Happened once every year. And he was anointed to do that particular service. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and make the offering. Anyone else would have died trying to do that. So, prophet were anointed. Priests in the Old Testament were anointed. The king was anointed. This was the only person in all of time to fulfill all three offices. Jesus Christ. No one in the Old Testament time ever fulfilled all three. They still looked for the Messiah. When Christ came on the scene, he fulfilled the prophet, priest, and king of God's people. Who he was the anointed. Secondly, it says, and he was born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, all God's people said. Now, the word Lord in the Greek is the Greek word kyrios. It's equivalent to the Old Testament word Jehovah. The supreme and only God, the high and holy One, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus is God. Paul said he was. Book of Hebrews said he was. John said he was. Luke's gospel tells us he was. Mark's gospel tells us he was. He was God. He will always be God. Though he is born in human flesh, Born into the world, he was, listen very carefully, born of the world, he never was. Let me say that again. Born into the world, he was. Born of the world, he never was. Do you know it? God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto us by the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being, listen to this, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, who being the brightness of his glory, the very Shekinah of God, the express image of his person, the word express means exactly the same. Who had purged our sins. He is God in all his soteriological provision. Sat down. God in all his exaltation. Do you see him today, the Lord? He's the Lord of glory. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord over all. The Lord, the incarnate one. The Lord, our shepherd. The Lord of history. The Lord of creation. The Lord of the covenant. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ. The Lord. What an Jesus came, and by the way, that's a fact of history. I think people sometimes that hear us say that, say, well, that's just what they're told. It's a fact of history. In fact, if you're willing to go read history, you'll find more information in history about Jesus Christ than there is about Caesar Augustus. There's more proof that Jesus was born in Bethlehem than there is that Caesar Augustus ever lived in the flesh. Period. And I'm not just saying that. You can go read the history for yourself. It's true. He was born. He lived. He died, he rose again, and he's coming back again to get us, to take us to heaven someday, all because he was born one day over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. All God's people say. Lord, help us to love you. Thank you for this wonderful little passage. Pray in Jesus' name.